This is bedside bonus number 2. I am so sleepy. I'm on the brink of sleep already. But I knew I needed to record this. I was reminded to record this. I've been, having actual pillow talk. Not that this isn't actual pillow talk, but I've been having pillow talk with people from town, people in the store. We got into a raw, almost raw ass fight in a store today. That was my life. That didn't happen to me. Oh my goodness, do you ever do that before bed? You ever just like think, oh, I'm living something that was like a life, it's a real thing, and actually it was just something you saw on TV? And also, wow, what does that mean about the things we see on TV and how influential they are on us? I mean, that's a point too. It's cold a little bit. I can't wait to get under my
Let's try that again.
A few weeks ago, I made this observation that was like, anyone who sees you, anyone who meets you can see that you're searching for a love and a community that is authentic and deep, and that's magnetic. And there was something about being seen like that, being read like that. Like a picture book, like it was easy and soft and honest. Oof. Just marinating on that.
Oh yes, yes, snuggle up. Making a lot of noise. Okay. Welcome. It's been a while. I've been really busy. Having pillow talk. And not recording it. Wow. You're hearing the wind. I'm in my bed now. Not an air mattress anymore. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, I've been like talking on the phone before bed and then just falling asleep. So this has been a long time coming. Oh my goodness, this week, episode 2 came out. It's so funny, I just had the thought, oh, episode 2 came out, I hope it's safe because of the wind. As though, like, episode 2 would get blown away by the wind. But that's literally, that is what sleepy brain is like. It makes you think that sometimes the silliest things could happen. Like thinking that pigs may fly. I was telling someone recently, maybe it was my students, how when I was a child, I would buy things from the dollar store called Just a Buck. And I'd put them under a tree and say they were from Santa. And everyone knew that they were from me because they were like, of course, our 8-year-old sibling can only afford things from the dollar store. And also they didn't believe in Santa. Even though I kind of did, but kind of didn't understand. Or maybe I did. Unclear. And we're back. I didn't really come back, but I said I'd come back. I was like, okay, don't fall asleep yet. We just started. You know what I'm gonna do for you? I'm gonna make a dress. I don't know what I was thinking about. I don't know where that's coming from either. I'm just so tired, I guess. Oh, you know, a thing that's been on my mind so much lately is, like, how do we ask people to be accountable? Like, how do we hold... I don't know, how do I hold the people that I care about accountable without them feeling like I'm holding them to perfection while also having expectations? This feels like a 4-part graph. It's like input, A, input, output, expectation, D, B, input, output, expectation, E. A, output. C, B, output. D. Like, I hope that makes sense. Because I've already kind of forgotten. What else is there? Thank you. Oh, I almost did it again. Well, actually I did. I did fall asleep for a little bit there. Yeah. I'm gonna take a quick nap, and then I'll come back. Okay. As you can tell, I was really sleepy this week, so I'm gonna leave you with a fairy tale that I wrote, and you'll notice that some of the music, all of the music in this fairy tale, is also featured in episode 2. That's because it's from this interesting audiovisual piece I made called Under the Moon. You can find out more about Under the Moon on my website in the details below. Thanks for listening, and have a good night. Once upon a time, there was a young, maybe middle-aged, femme in the woods. We call them the femme in the woods because that's really all we know. No one has ever been close enough to the femme, but it's known that 2 wolves guard their home. At night, Candake prowls the woods. Named after the queen of Ethiopians who conquered Syria and the Mediterranean, Candake was fierce like fire and ice, and at one with the earth. You remember Cleopatra's boy toy, Alexander the Great? Well, Candake showed up to a fight with him on an elephant and said, "I'll show you who's bigger." The elephant was, obviously. Candake, known for her knowledge, cunning, and strength, guards the woods at night, meeting all that wander with a riddle they can choose over their life or the option to turn away. Luna, guardian of the day, moves through the woods like a nervous system. Luna breathes and the trees sway. Luna sweats and the sky mimics. Luna is almost in cycle with the earth. It is as though they're in communication. Luna watches wanderers, greeting waysiders with weary wonder, wishful eyes. Luna longed,
longed for a transformation, longed for answers. It is said that Luna, Candake, and the Femme in the woods lived unbothered, unbuttoned, and unexplored for years. One day, curious, a lad entered into the woods during the day. As though the dirt told on the lad, Luna arrived before they were nearly a kitchen to living room's distance in. "Why do you wander, stranger?" Luna said to the lad. "I only come here to explore. I'd like to chart the land." Luna looked on the lad. Luna breathed and the lad observed the wind. "Funny how the air moves in the woods." "Funny," Luna responded, still breathing gently, softly, quietly, while directly staring at the lad. "Why do you wander, stranger?" The lad, suddenly feeling the sink of their feet into the earth. Had they always not been wearing shoes? Why would they come into the woods without shoes? The lad looked quizzically at their feet and then back at Luna, who said even gentler than the first two times, "Why do you wander, stranger?" Looking up from the earth that seemed to be rooted into the lad, they responded, "You. I've come here to learn about you." Luna's eyes brightened, and in contrast to what was expected, the sun retracted slightly, and the roots grabbed on just a little tighter to the lad, who questioned, "It was just bright and early in the day. Why is the sun already leaving?" Luna, suddenly aware of their excitement, stepped back, let their eyelids fall ever so slightly, and let out a deep, heavy sigh. "Who have you come to learn about, stranger?" The lad, feeling more grounded now, as though the rooting and the wind and the movement of the sun has actually brought them back in time to the moment they first walked into the woods and were greeted by you and the Femme in the woods and the other wolf. "It's incredible to me that for generations people have talked about you, y'all, and no one has actually seen you. So I figured I'd come get the scoop and let everyone know that you're real or not, and that the woods are safe or not." Luna watches the wanderer with wishful eyes. "You say there's a Femme in the woods?" The lad looks flustered, the glamour of the element losing their grasp. The lad, becoming numb to the supernatural, says, "Yes, aren't you listening? Don't you know how many people are here? I barely made it in before you found me." The lad is rambling, missing Luna retreating, missing the sun slowly disappear, missing the flower start to wilt and the fur fall away. The lad goes on until Luna is gone, leaving behind fur, a tail, and a snake-like skin. Questioning the entire interaction and how long they've been there since the sun is going down, the lad begins to walk forward in hopes to find Luna or the others. Candake appears, fur prominent, tail peaked, curious. The lad stops. "I wish I had a camera." They have cameras back where the lad lives. Candake looks. "I know why you're here." The lad rolls their eyes. "Yes, of course Luna told you. I'm not sure why Luna pretended not to know what I was." "Stop talking." Candake had no interest in the rambling. Aware of her time, Candake said, "You think you know, but you don't know." "I believe I know what I..." "You think the sun tells you it's day and the moon tells you it's night. You think the wind tells you you're cold and that fire tells you it's hot. You think, but you don't know." The lad opens their mouth to respond, but stops and thinks, "Well, I do think the sun tells me it's day, and the moon tells me it's night. But I couldn't have been here for more than 2 hours, and it's already night, and cold, and somehow I lost my shoes." "You still think of what you think you had." The lad comes back, Oh, you must be the Wolf of Riddles. You almost got me there. You still think you know? Do I have to answer this riddle or lose my life? Kandik moving the way a wolf moves, only not the way the lad expected a wolf to move. Is that what you'd like? Kandik asks, appearing to have lost, misplaced, never had their tail. Where did your tail go? Do you think all wolves have tails? Don't they? The lad answered before they recognized the trap they'd fallen into. The riddle, disguised as all the other statements, the answer given callously. But I'm right, the lad thought. You still think of what you think you know. I'm thinking, yes, but you're not right. For all wolves do not have tails. All tales do not have all facts. And all riddles do not have to come with the bargain of your life. But you chose to look at tales as facts, and facts and tales as wolves, and wolves as animals, but really, we all cycle through our animal sides and our goddess sides. The wolf is femme, and the femme is the wolf, and the mother, and the sister, and I invite you, cycle, evolve, transform.